Anyway, Revelation chapter 17. Let's start up with verse 9 again, just where we left off. And here is the mind. Notice here is the mind which hath wisdom. That tells me that God is wanting this to be understood. And of course, wisdom is going to be required, the wisdom of God, wisdom from the Holy Spirit. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And as we finished up, I emphasized very clearly the Bible is saying here, the seven heads that the Bible talks about here in this passage, they're symbolic. They're not literal. It's not seven heads on this beast-like creature. We're talking about seven heads, the mountains on which Rome sits, on which the woman sitteth. So again, we see very clearly that the indication there is of Rome and the papal system, as we see out of the pagan Roman Empire. Verse 10, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not. Other is not yet come. And notice, when he cometh, he must continue a short space. You want a verse that has all kinds of different ideas on this. I'm just going to summarize them for you. First of all, the preterists say that these are kings related to Rome. The five are fallen are Julius Caesar, Augustus, Tiberius, Gaius or Caligula, and Claudius. Those are the five kings that have fallen. And then it says one is, Nero. So obviously the preterists believe that this is written before the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. One is Nero, and the other has not yet come. Emperor Galba only reigned 6 months. Now the problem with that is, as we'll see some of this, that relates to that, but there's gaps in that, as I did some reading on that. But again, these are different ideas. The preterists will say that. Also, the dispensationalists and others will say that these kings, five kings are fallen and so on, that these kings represent empires that have already fallen. Here's the example. The kingdoms that have already fallen: Egypt, Assyria, according to Micah 5, 6 and other passages, Babylon, Daniel 5, the Medo-Persian Empire, and Greece. Then it says one is, what empire was in power at the time of the writing of Revelation? Rome. And one has not yet come. Obviously, we're talking about a future kingdom then, the Holy Roman Empire, the papacy and all that. So we see here, but dispensationalists kind of twist that though. One that is yet to come, they say, is the revived Roman Empire, as if there's this revived empire that it's at the end, the last 7 years and so on. So that's related to that. But here's why I want for us to point out some of this. It says these kings are all related to Mystery Babylon, the Mystery Babylon, Babylonian religion. So we have to make sure that it's related as far as our understanding of this. Again, God wants us to have a mind of wisdom related to this. Notice there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. Again, that's Rome. Five kings have already fallen, and the other has not yet come. That's the future kingdom. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And as I've already pointed out, continuing a short space, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, prophetically, we're talking about the 3.5 years, the 1,260 days. Literally, when you study out history from 538 to 1798, the papacy dominated this world. Literally, 1,260 years. So as you think about this, literally, this has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. As we think about also related to the Babylonian religion, the Egyptian religion, paganism, was related to Babylon. As remember the study we had on Nimrod and the religion that came out of his kingdom. The Assyrian and Babylonian gods were related to all of that. Zoroastrianism of Persia is related to this. Greek gods have similarities to Nimrod worship and all that. Rome was a melting pot for all of the ancient pagan religions. And then you think about, finally, as we think about Catholicism. Catholicism is a blending of Judaism, paganism, and giving them Christian titles. So you think about all of these things, that's all related to this Babylonian religion. However, there's another thing that I was doing some reading on, and I wanted to do a little extra reading here this morning, and this is one of the things that I studied out. As I've been reading, I see references to this, but I did not take time to study it out. Roman historians say that there were five forms of government, and there were two also that followed this time as well. Roman historians say this, so that's why some take this very seriously. There's seven forms of government that Rome has experienced over the centuries. First of all are the kings. And I did not remember this, but there were six kings in Rome before the empire and all that. So Rome was founded by twin brothers, Romulus and Remus. And according to legends and all that, Romulus killed his brother to become king. So there were six kings. That's one form of government. Second of all, in Rome, there were the consuls. I had to look that up, consuls, not consul as you have it in your car. Consuls, and I looked up the definition of this just to make sure I understood this. A consul was an elected Roman magistrate with regal power during the Republic of Rome. Literally, the Roman government, or the Roman Empire, literally went through stages of different types of governments. Also, thirdly, there were dictators. Then there were decemvirs. I had to look this one up too. I thought this was very interesting. A decemvir was one of 10 Roman magistrates. The decemvirs, plural, is a body of 10 Roman magistrates that ruled Rome. Also, there were military tribunes, literally times when the military controlled the Roman government. So you think about those five right there. It says there are seven kings, five are fallen. That was in the past as far as the Roman Empire was concerned. Notice then also it says one is. Who was in charge of the Roman Empire at this point? Caesar, right? So in fact, some believe it was during Nero's reign. Others say it was later during Domitian's. But one is, the Caesars are still in power. And it says one is yet to come. The other is not yet come. And of course, that's the papacy that was in the future. So literally, the Roman Empire, the Roman system, the government, was ruled in seven different types of government. So that's very interesting as you think about that. Notice it goes on to say in verse 11 then, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Obviously, this is talking here about the Roman papacy. This is not a revived Roman Empire as the dispensationalists tell us. I'll talk about that here in the next verse here in a moment. But notice it says, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. Now, when you understand this verse in light of Daniel 7, remember, Daniel 7 talks about the little horn that comes up out of the Roman Empire. Very clearly, I believe that's indication not of some future Antichrist, even as the Protestants and Baptists very clearly taught throughout the hundreds of years of church history, that the Antichrist was seated in Rome in the papacy. Now, notice it says here he goes into perdition. This is the second time that perdition is mentioned here in this passage. He goeth into perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 again, we saw that the one that we're talking about, or that the ruler in that passage, is the son of perdition. He's headed to judgment. We're going to see that here in Revelation chapter 20. Notice he goeth into perdition. He's from the pits of hell as far as his power is concerned. And literally, he's going to make it there before the devil himself. The dragon is going to be cast into the lake of fire after this beast here. Now, notice verse 12. Very carefully notice this. And the ten horns, all right, so the ten horns, which thou sawest, are ten kings. Wow, that's hard to figure out, isn't it? Notice, God interprets this for us. Why do we make it so hard? There are so many who come up with all kinds of false doctrines because they don't read what the Bible actually interprets for itself. The best commentary in the Bible is the Bible. All right, so notice it says, the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. At this point of writing, notice, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, during the time that the beast reigns, 1,260 years, the 3.5 years prophetically, the days of years, notice, they reign during this time. Now, it's very interesting when you understand this in relation to the Protestant movement and all that. Now, it's also very interesting to understand that in Daniel 7:24, it says that the little horn, this other king, comes out of Rome. Now, if you were to talk to the normal dispensationalist, this is what I taught over the years, that there's going to be these 10 kings, and this is the European Union. As I was reminded of this, listening to some preaching here this last week, It used to be very popular from Hal Lindsey and all them that during the 70s and so on, leading up to 1988, there's, in fact, let me write this, read what I wrote down here. As far as the European Union, in 1958, they had six nations in the European Union. And so the speculation was that as each nation joins in, that we're going to have the 10 nations, 10 kings. The problem, first of all, with that is many of those nations were not ruled by kings. Okay, so if there's no king, then how can they be kings? That's what the Bible says. Not only that, but you think about this, as nine nations came in, I think Greece was the 10th. All of a sudden, there's all kinds of speculation going on. The European Union is forming. Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming back in 1988. What's the problem with that? It is, first of all, speculation. Second of all, it's based on an event, not the Bible. 1948, one generation of the Bible is 40 years. That's the basis of this 1988. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. We're doing exactly what Jesus said not to do. No one knows the time of his coming. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Notice it says, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings in the first century have not received their power yet. They've not received their kingdom yet. But they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, I've mentioned this from time to time as our study of Daniel and so on. These 10 kings are formed when the Roman Empire falls. You look back in history, this is very easily understood. We have complicated it. Well, I used to preach this at the Club of Rome. I'm not saying that it's possible, that's not possible that there's going to be some, you know, dividing up of the world eventually into 10 kingdoms according to the Club of Rome. You do a search on Club of Rome. They have a map. They have all the regions of this world. I used to preach that. I'm not saying that's not necessarily going to come true. But as far as this prophecy is concerned, you notice here, they have not received in the first century their kingdom yet. It's very important for you to understand that the Roman Empire was divided up into 10 provinces. Why 10? Because that's what God knows what's going on. Here's the 10 provinces that the Roman Empire was divided up. Italy, Achaia, Asia Minor. These are all areas that we see in the Bible. Syria, Egypt, the rest of northern Africa, Spain, Gaul, Britain, and Germany. Those were 10 provinces of the Roman Empire. Now, what happened in 476 AD, when the Roman Empire itself fell, it was conquered, I don't remember which one of the 10 kings, there were three kingdoms that rose up against the papacy and all that, but when against Rome, I should say. So when these 10 fell, remember what Daniel says? Three of them were plucked up by the roots. Three of them are destroyed and conquered by Rome. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. Who are these 10 kings? They are the 10 kings that came to power when the Roman government, the Roman Empire fell. Now, very clearly, we understand this in history, even as far as the writings of others. Tertullian in the second century said this, that he believed that these were the division of the Roman Empire into 10 kingdoms, and one ruler arises, the little horn. Second century, that's what Tertullian said. This is why Christians prayed for the Roman Empire to restrain the greatest wickedness to come. Think about that. Based on 2 Thessalonians 2, this is exactly what they used to preach. They used to say that they would often say that the first centuries of Christianity would pray that the Roman Empire would stay strong. You know why? Because they understood from prophecy that when the Roman Empire fell, this beastly kingdom, this Antichrist, was going to come. That's why they prayed so earnestly for the Roman Empire, to restrain this greatest wickedness that would ever come. The Roman emperors killed thousands of Christians, as I said earlier. The papacy killed millions, as many as 50 million. They slaughtered, in fact, 2 million. 2 million people were killed in France alone during some of the bloodshed of that period of history. Several ancient writers understood the restraining force to be the Roman Empire. As soon as the Roman Empire fell, then this papacy system, this papal system would come to power. When the Roman Empire fell, the man of sin was revealed. 10 kingdoms of Rome, Three are plucked up according to Daniel 7:8. Now notice it says here in verse 13, these have one mind, they're united, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Again, the papacy came to power on these 10 kingdoms of divided Rome. Notice these, plural. So we're talking about all the kingdoms collectively along with the little horn. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. You do a study of history, this is exactly what happened. Germany, great slaughter of Christians. France, great slaughter of Christians. Throughout Europe, this took place. Throughout the fallen Roman Empire, this all took place. Notice they make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb overcame them, shall overcome them. Notice ultimately the battle is with the Lord. Remember what Saul of Tarsus was told? You're persecuting me, Jesus said. Oh yeah, he's chasing down Christians, but the persecution is affecting the Lamb in heaven. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is going to win the victory. He is going to destroy this beastly system, this beastly kingdom. It says, they that are with him, notice the saints, the true believers, are, notice threefold description here, are called, chosen, and faithful. That's God's description of us. Now, as you understand what we're seeing here in verse 13 and so on, Rome is the papal power, the religious power. The kings are the political power. Remember, I've told you that the Bible says that the religious beast comes in the power of the political power. So we see here the 10 kings are what brings the papal system to power. Notice they give their power and strength unto the beast. They wholeheartedly at first supported the papal system, this holy, not so holy Roman Empire. Notice verse 15 now. Now we're going to get down into some more details of this here. In verse 15 it says, he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth and are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Let me read for you the verse I mentioned earlier in Daniel 7, talking about the four beastly kingdoms, Daniel 7 and verse 2. Again, this is very clearly a statement as far as the source of this. It's the sea of humanity. This is what I was mentioning earlier. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Notice here again how Revelation describes this. The peoples, all right, the people groups, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Literally, this is a world domination. Let me ask you, what's the word Catholic mean? Universal. The Catholic Church believes it's the universal church. This is a universal religious system. It's built upon the sea of humanity, the multitudes of the peoples. What was it? Over 1 billion people claim to be Roman Catholic. Verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, the papacy, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, it's very interesting to notice what it says here. Notice these 10 horns are 10 kings, right? And I remember I was told not to ask so many questions in the afternoon, so I'll answer it for you. It says, the 10 horns which thou sawest are upon the beast, right? So the 10 horns are the 10 kings. Notice, these shall hate the whore, the papacy, this religious system that rode in on the 10 kingdoms. And notice this, and shall make her desolate. That's judgment language that we see in Daniel and other places. Shall make her desolate. So this is talking about her destruction. And make her naked. Isaiah refers to this. And shall eat her flesh. Remember, dogs ate Jezebel. So again, we see Old Testament terminology and symbolism in this these statements here, and also burn her with fire. I want you to notice with me Leviticus 21. As I was looking at cross-references in my reading, I came across a very interesting verse here in relation to the priesthood of Israel. And again, the terminology, the prophetic language that we see here in Revelation all has its roots in Old Testament prophecy and Old Testament imagery and so on, symbolism. And notice it says here in Leviticus 21, verse 9, in the context of laws related to priesthood, notice this, the daughter of any priest if she profane herself by playing the whore, it's a Bible word for harlot, she profaneth her father. Notice this last statement. She shall be burnt with fire. All right, so here's this religious system that's built in priesthood and hierarchy and all that kind of stuff. So we see that symbolism here, that imagery. It says she shall be burned with fire. Why? Because she's playing the whore. She has violated her spiritual covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this is all has to be all related to the church and apostate churches. It's an apostate religion. They had the truth, but they left it. Notice again, back in Revelation 17, the descriptions here of what happens here as far as her judgment. Notice the 10 kings, the 10 horns, shall make her desolate. Again, that's destruction. And naked. Isaiah, I don't remember if I wrote down the reference here, but Isaiah mentions something in relation to this, bearing the thigh and all that, talking about the nakedness. Also shall eat her flesh, and again, burn her with fire. This is the judgment of God upon this religious system. Now, it's very interesting you do a study of history in this. First of all, you see in relation, generally speaking, I'll just generally say, in relation to the Reformation, how many so-called Catholic nations during the Reformation period turned on the papacy? This is why the end of the 1500s, the Jesuit Francisco Ribera did this futurism prophecy, because it was a commentary in the book of Revelation, like I think it was like 400 some pages. Here's why this was done. Because of how many Catholics were leaving for the Protestant churches. Literally whole nations were shaken, and I read one estimate that as many as half of Roman Catholicism left to go to Protestant churches. Now the problem with that is a lot of these Protestant churches became state churches. They kept the same system. That's the problem. See, Baptists were never Protestants. We were never a part of the Catholic Church. But here's what I want you to understand as far as some of this. It's also interesting, some of these Protestant nations banned the Jesuits. They kicked them out of their countries. Why? Because they knew, as part of this hierarchy, the wickedness that they did behind the scenes in destroying nations. They were not going to allow them in because they knew that they would divide and conquer the Protestant countries. And again, a Jesuit gave us this futurism doctrine. Also, it's very interesting, doing a study of history in relation to the Reformation and that period of history. Napoleon of France, in 1798, conquered the papacy. And by, what was it, by 1806 or whatever, you check out history on this, by 1806 they actually had shut down the papacy, and in fact I think the Pope was even crowned in France. So the Vatican was conquered. Also, it's interesting in history, on September 20, 1870, the Italian army overthrew the papacy there in Italy. They had reestablished some things, but the papacy was overthrown in Italy. And in the date is February 11th, 1929. You know what Mussolini did? Mussolini granted the Vatican their own sovereign state. I think it was called the Lateran Treaty. So notice here, fascism was giving power to the papacy. That's exactly what we see happening. In fact, there's some who say that that's the eighth, but he's of the seven. This is all Bible language. And that's why I say a lot of this stuff has already been and is being fulfilled. We see today the papacy has its power and so on, authority, because of the governments giving it its authority. The papacy is still writing the nations. The kings are still giving the papacy their power. That's why I say America is complicit in this, because we have presidents who bow before the Pope. We have, talking about Zionism, I've mentioned this before. We have 100 congressmen that are dual citizens with Zionist Israel and America. I'm sorry, but I can't trust that. I don't believe we should trust that, because they have divided loyalties. And that's why Donald Trump said not too long ago that Congress has been owned by Israel. Think about that. A president who converted to Judaism, at least in 2017, has said himself, Israel owns Congress. So you have 100 congressmen who are also citizens of the state of Israel. There's a problem there. There's a serious problem there. This papal system, coupled with Zionism, all of that is all related. I really believe that with all my heart as I studied out the history and the prophecy of this. Now notice it says in verse 17. It says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. All 10 kingdoms turned away from the Roman papacy in history. In fact, notice with me Daniel 7. Daniel 7 verses 25 and 26. Daniel 7 verses 25 and 26. In fact, let's look at verse 23. Talks about the fourth beast, Rome, the Roman Empire. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And by the way, this is the 10 toes that we see on Nebuchadnezzar's image. The 10 toes. It all fits, it all relates to history that's already been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. Notice the verse 24, the 10 horns out of this kingdom. These are the 10 kingdoms that arose out of the Roman Empire. Words are important. It is out of the fourth kingdom. These are the 10 kings. History proves this to be true. It's already been done. We don't have to look for this European Union that now has 27 countries. Well, how does that fit? By the way, have you ever noticed? They aren't really talking about the European Union being fulfillment of the revived Roman Empire anymore much. Why? Because there's too many. There's too many. Oh, it doesn't fit. So if it doesn't fit their system, they just quiet down. They don't talk about it anymore and hope we forget. Well, this is part of why I've started studying this out, because there's so many times it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't match up with what the Bible says. They don't want us to find out that it doesn't match up with the Bible, because they won't be able to sell their millions of books and become millionaires and live with ease in their mansions. The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them. Notice, after them, this is the little horn. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. These are the 3 that were plucked up. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. This is persecution. Notice, constant oppression of believers, true believers in Christ. The racks, burning at the stake, all of those things. And think to change times and laws. He changed what was true as far as the law of God. He changed times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. 1,260 years prophetically. That's exactly what fits in the time frame of the Roman power from 538 to 1798 AD. But the judgment shall sit. Notice, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, as we rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Notice the truth of this in the book of Daniel even. Notice again, God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. All 10 kingdoms will turn away from the Roman papacy. Notice it says in verse 18, finally then, the woman which thou sawest, notice, if you doubt it at all, it's like the Lord says, here's one more confirmation for you. If you doubt what I've said, here's one more clue and evidence to help you know what city we're talking about. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. When this was written, the Roman Empire ruled the kings of the earth, those 10 provinces. Notice here it says then, this city reigneth over the kings of the earth. Great power and authority, ultimately, of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, let me give you some examples as we close. If you doubt what I say, here's some examples to bring some confirmation from history. Here's the city that rules over the kings of the earth. In the 11th century, Emperor Henry IV tried to depose Pope Gregory VII. So here's this power struggle. As the Bible talks about this, we've already mentioned this. We've already studied it out. So the political power tries to depose the religious power. Pope Gregory the VII. Gregory excommunicated Henry the IV. And he absolved everyone from allegiance to him. You see, there was a fear. So if you didn't follow the king when the pope said, then you could be excommunicated and you've been cut off from your source of salvation, the Roman Catholic Church. So in January of 1077, as he's been excommunicated, Henry went to Italy to beg the pope's forgiveness. He stood barefoot in the snow for 3 days waiting for a hearing with Pope Gregory the VII. The city that reigneth over the kings of the earth. Another example. German Emperor Frederick allowed Pope Alexander to stand on his neck while he was lying on the floor. Here's a king, and he's lying on the floor, and he's allowing a pope to put his foot on his neck. The popes reign over the kings of this earth. Henry VI of England was crowned by the pope. As he's bowing before the pope kicked the crown from his head while the newly crowned emperor knelt before him. The pope reigns over the kings of this earth. Pope Alexander rode horseback through Rome on one occasion, and on each side of his horse was Louis, King of France, and Henry, King of England. Literally, as the pope sat on the horse, these kings walked, one each holding a rein, as they paraded through the streets of Rome. This is a powerful system. It is a religious system that controls the political systems of this world. That's why I've been emphasizing. You want to understand what's going on today? Check out the Catholic Connection. Look for the working of the Jesuits. Because I really believe even all this pandemic and everything is all related to this beastly system controlling the world in these last days. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand scripturally what your word is saying. Lord, you said you wanted us to have wisdom. Here's wisdom. Lord God, I pray that you'd give us understanding. Again, as I've been emphasizing, to set aside the private interpretations that we've received from C.I. Scofield and others, to actually see what your word has said in light of history. Lord, what I preach today was what they preached for hundreds of years before Darby and Scofield. Lord, help us to not be deceived. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.